Today's devotion is titled The Family of God, Part 3. On one of our first missionary journeys to Romania, we were hosted by a pastor with three generations living under the same roof. This was a common way of life for many families in Romania. It gave a warm sense of community. The pastor and his wife had a young family of two sons. They gave everyone great joy, seeing them play and develop, and to see how the various members of the family interacted with them. It was so much a close-knit community. While the pastor was visiting his flock and his wife was at work, the children were left to be looked after by the grandparents. The grandparents were very godly Christians, with grandmother spending valuable time reading Bible stories and teaching the two boys the scriptures off by heart. Each evening, when everyone came together, they would engage in conversation about the various day's activities. But importantly, the children would be picking up the life skills from both the parents and grandparents. Occasionally, relatives would call and share their problems. The grandparents, having a much longer experience of life, were able to give much respected wisdom on these occasions. As the grandparents became frail, the parents and grandchildren gave much needed help up to the time when the grandparents slipped away into the hands of their Heavenly Father. Within the church family, we also have different age groups: children, fathers, mothers, parents, and grandparents. They all have a part to play in helping the church grow. The apostle reminds us in Acts 20, 27 and 28, "For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherd of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." As I emphasized in my last devotion, the early years of a child's growth is vital in setting them on the right road to become good citizens in God's family. It would help the child to focus on the lifestyle the family seek to cultivate as they grow up. But in order to achieve that goal, the whole family has to have a united focus on achieving that. We all know how much families love to get together to eat and enjoy social times, getting to know one another better and share one another's needs and support one another. Likewise, the spiritual parents, together with their own families, should seek unity, giving space by regular meeting together. Let us remind ourselves how the apostle and Christians lived, having received the inward power of the Holy Spirit. We read in Acts 2, 42-47, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with gladness, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to them their number daily, those who were being saved." Let us not forget what the apostle said in Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Just by being part of a community, giving us security and a warmth from one another, the love we receive, but we have to do our part to bring the church community alive and to become more effective. Not forgetting how the church in its infancy used to meet regularly, as we read in Acts 2, 46-47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. they broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The New Testament talks about certain named members who had a responsibility in seeing this happen. We have the pastors, deacons, overseers, and elders. There must be a godly infrastructure to the leadership undergirding the church family. We read what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 3, 1-13. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with the outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul writes to Titus. He says in Titus 1:6-9, an elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it's been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. The Apostle Peter also said in 1 Peter 5, 1-6, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders, all of you. Clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. We have seen how important it is to spend time nurturing young Christians, to see them grow in their faith and to become evangelists, teachers, and leaders. But we must also look outside our church walls to reach the lost. One proven way to reach the lost is to reach out to the children in our neighborhood. a structure of holding weekly activities both on a Sunday and during the week, be it social, underpinned with sharing God's love, will reap great rewards. These children, some who have difficult lifestyles, will discover God's love lived out through the lives of those who are teaching and leading them. In turn, there will come opportunities to invite the parents to outreach events, where the parents will also meet the Saviour. We read in Psalm 68, 4-6. Sing to God, sing in praise to his name, extol him with rides on the clouds, rejoice before him, his name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families, he leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Out in this God-forsaken world, children, men and women are looking for purpose in life. They're leading a life which brings no satisfaction, but God has the answer to fulfilling that void, as well as seeking to reach the children, which in turn reach the parents and grandparents with the gospel. There is an ever-growing population of senior members in our community living very isolated, lonely lives. The church family has another opportunity to bridge that gap, but enable them to meet Jesus. As one dear Christian friend said to me, who had recently been widowed, she said, "I am never lonely. I have Jesus." The responsibility does not just rest on the church leaders, but on the individual church members doing their part to show God's love through hospitality, helping or inviting neighbours for a meal. The Apostle again said in Romans 12, 9-13, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. We also read what the Apostle Paul said to the Christian church in Galatians, Galatians 6, 9-11. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let us remind ourselves what Jesus said was the prime purpose here on earth. In John 15, we hear Jesus telling his followers the secrets of a healthy Christian life. He emphasized how we had to be in a healthy relationship with him. We need to constantly hear his voice and respond to him by following him and obeying him. In John 15, 16 and 17, this is what Jesus said. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Through what we say and in our lifestyle, we should be living and serving God, as the Bible shows us. Within our church community, we may also have retired church ministers and pastors. We may also have in our church family grandparents have their own children and grandchildren as part of the church family. Each one of these Christians will have had a lifetime of experience in bringing up their children and great knowledge of the trials, but also give testimony as to how God has led them to where they are now. We read in Proverbs 17:6, children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. In the Old Testament, we read about the mother-in-law Naomi's influence on Ruth, her daughter-in-law, who was a Gentile Moabite. Naomi has lived with her family while living in Moab to avoid a drought in Israel. She had taught and encouraged Ruth and her sister Orpah in godly living. We discover the godly influence Naomi had on Ruth. When Naomi decided to return to her home in Bethlehem, she tells Ruth to stay in her own homeland. Naomi was an aroma of God's love, which Ruth clung to. What does Ruth say to her mother-in-law in Ruth 1:17-19? Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separate you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on their way and came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" We see how Naomi had had a godly influence on her neighbors even before she went to live in Moab. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul highlights the influence the mother and grandmother Lois had on young Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1:5 we read, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Let us remind ourselves again what Jesus said in John 15:16-17. "I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." Under God's banner of love, we should be investing our time, seeking to influence everyone we have contact with, by showing in our lifestyle and teaching that what it is to have a loving relationship with Jesus. Our lifestyle should be a witness to God's love. We should be an aroma of God's love, which should be a catalyst in turning folks' hearts to become followers of Jesus. Like a financial investment which has to stay in the bank for a while to gain interest, we also have to dedicate ourselves to a lifetime of investing in other people to win them for Christ. What do we read in Ecclesiastes 11:1 in the New King James Version? "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days." We are encouraged to invest, to sow and to spread the bread of life, the truth found in the Bible, and in due time, those words of scripture will germinate in the lives of the folk who are seeking the way of salvation and will be born again. May the words spoken by the Apostle Paul, writing to his friend Gaius, be said of us. Paul says in 3 John 2-6, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gives me great joy when some believers come and testify about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God." Let each one of us be encouraged by the words of the psalmist, who said in Psalm 92:12-15, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him.'" Let us hold on to the Lord, who is our rock, as we listen to the words of that great hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less." And as the chorus says, "On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand."